I'm Mike Lyle, professor at Quinnipiac University and sports reporter for Connecticut and Massachusetts. And you're listening to the best podcast on the internet, the Pro Sports Podcasters.
Welcome all sports fans. On this podcast,
no sport is left behind.
I'm Justin Williams.
I'm Cabrera Duran, and this is our brother from down under,
me, Wallace Bruce.
We are the Pro Sports Podcasters,
filling you in on the latest news from the world of sports.
Welcome back to the Pro Sports Podcasters. Justin and I are going to go over our UFC 264 preview, the Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier 3. There's a number of great fights on this card. In fact, there's some really fantastic fights on the undercard, so I kind of want to begin there.
Hell yeah. Well, as we know, I'm a huge fan of the good old early prelims because that's typically free. And like we said at Pro Sports Podcasters, we don't endorse finding other ways to watch stuff when it costs. So, moving forward, Brad Tavares. I've heard a lot about this guy. Now, here's the thing about him that kind of really intrigues me. I never seen him fight. So, I had to go back and watch some YouTube videos of this guy. But he's been, like, this guy, Brad, has knocked out another dude named, like, Kristoff.
Yeah, Jutko.
And then, and then got knocked out himself. And then in 2021, he had beaten Antonio Carlos Jr. by a third round decision. So I missed that fight entirely. I still haven't seen him yet, but I'm excited to see him now because I've heard rumors through various like MMA websites and stuff like that is that he wants to go back into being one of those top five people. I don't know if he ever was, but that's where he's trying to go. So if he has that mindset of trying to be there, I really want to see him get there.
Yeah, no, he's fought some of the best guys in the division over the years. He's been around for a long time. This is not a new name. Brad Tavares has been there, done that. You never know these days when it comes right down to it. I mean, it used to be fighters would sort of level out.
Mm-hmm.
They'd reach their peak and that was it. It's rare that you saw somebody kind of reinvent themselves and reach another level, but that's not the case anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Probably case in point, best example would be Charles Oliveira.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people thought Oliveira was done a few years back, and now he's the title holder. So it would not surprise me to see Tavares put up a pretty good fight here. And I like him against Akhmedov.
Why is that?
I think the experience is going to win out. Both of them have fought a lot of fights, but Tavares has fought the better competition.
Ooh.
Right? He's gone through deeper waters, really. So I think that'll be the difference in that fight.
So do you think it's going to go off all three rounds?
I believe so, yeah. Two rounds to one for Tavares.
I love it. I can't wait to watch this. I'm super excited for that. Is there anything else in the E?
Oh, yeah. No, there's a couple of fights in the preliminaries that I'm a big fan of. So you've got two well-established names in the women's flyweight division. You've got Jennifer Maia and Jessica Ai. Again, both of them have fought practically everybody of importance that's currently in the division. And it's strange. If you look at their records, you're going to notice that, you know, Jessica Ai beat somebody that Jennifer Maia lost to, but Jennifer Maia beat someone that Jessica Ai lost to. So it's almost that rock, paper, scissors situation.
Of who's going to come out on top.
Correct, because they have very differing styles, and this one's really difficult to predict for me. I'm not going to make a prediction here. I just think it'll be a good fight.
Yeah, so actually, not that I didn't notice this, but I remember Jessica Ai was on a top 10 list of things I was watching not too long ago, and I Google people from those lists frequently, and I noticed that she was fighting recently. But with Jennifer, she's fought in 2018, 2019, and 2021. Like, that's when her career started, I guess, with UFC. But Jessica Ai has been around since 2013, at least in the UFC. So I'm going to give the advantage just to Jessica Ai, solely on the fact that she's probably faced stiffer competition. And like you said earlier, deeper waters.
Okay. All right. You're taking a gamble on that one.
Yes. But I'm also learning from the master, which is you. So.
All right. Now moving further up the card, you've got a really interesting bout in Ryan Hall versus Ilia Topuria. Now, these are two submission specialists. Okay, both of them are basically undefeated in the UFC, at least. Hall has one loss on his record, but it's like his first fight. So I don't even really factor that in. To me, these guys are undefeated. And both of them are BJJ experts that right. can submit you any number of ways. You can look through their back catalog and see some crazy submissions that they've actually achieved in a number of their fights. So this is one for anyone who's a real fan of submission style MMA. You're going to have a blast here. And I actually give the advantage, a slight advantage to Ryan Hall, only because I think he's got slightly better stand-up, and that might be the difference.
So there is a 12-year difference between two of them. Do you think that's going to make much of a difference?
No, I don't.
No? Okay. Ryan Hall has a 4-centimeter reach difference. That's not much.
No.
Okay, yeah. All right, I'm going to trust you on that one. I can't say – I think I might have seen Ryan Hall fight, but I don't really see who he's fought that I would know.
No, this is a difficult one to pick. It really is. I'm honestly just going with Hall here just because I think it's possible that their BJJ could cancel each other out. And it might come down to who lands the better strikes actually wins this fight. But it's really either one of those fights. It's a great fight. This is a fight that really should be on a main card, in my opinion.
Well, if you look at the first fight in the main card, we have, you know, your boy, Sugar Sean. So, I mean, if he's debuting the main card, you can already tell it's going to be a stacked card to begin with.
Yeah, that fight might not even last 2 minutes, but whatever. So I'm going to keep moving up here. The fight right after Hall versus Topuria is Nico Price versus Michael Pereira. That fight's not going the distance. Someone's going to sleep. That's what's going to happen there. That's going to be a fantastic fight.
Oh, my God. Did you hear that thunder?
Oh, yeah. I got it, too.
Who do you think is going to take this one? Because I think I've seen Michael fight. I feel like the name sounds familiar to me. Hold on, sorry. Let's check his.
I think you've probably seen both of them fight, really.
I saw Michael fight that Williams dude and just absolutely destroyed. But it was a decision, but I still consider it destroying because he just owned the whole time. And Nico, where did he go? Where did he come from? Who did he fight? Who he at? He fought Donald Cerrone, but that ended in, it was a draw. It was overturned. And then Vicente Luca. I must have, that was May 2020. I don't think I was really watching then.
Okay.
So no, I don't think I've actually seen Nico step into the.
I'm just going to call. I don't think that fight's going the distance. Okay. Someone's going to knock somebody else out or it'll be a TKO.
Ooh, I love when TKOs happen. Ugh.
And now you've got next a former welterweight title contender in Carlos Condit, the natural born killer versus Max Griffin. This is going to be a war as well. Because anything with Condit is a war. And he's got so much scar tissue, they're going to have to break out the mops after this one.
I was going to say, because didn't he fight Court McGee not too long ago?
Probably. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at his, I can't think what fights he's had recently. Let me check it out here.
Yeah, hold on. Matt Brown, he fought
me. Every fight he's in is a war. That's just how it is.
Like Clay Guida?
Pretty much. And like Clay Guida, he doesn't really get going until he takes damage.
That's so weird for certain people to do that. I don't know. I find that strange. But like, it's impressive in itself because the fight you showed me with Clay Guida, how he just sat there just taking hits and he was throwing back. It was, oh my God.
And you look at how long this guy's been around. Like, it's crazy when you look down the list of guys he's fought. I go way down the list. Hey, way down the list. I'm going to move up here. Let's get into some real names. Frank Trigg. That's like as old school as it gets. Jake Shields.
Oh, Jake Shields. Yeah, I know him.
Martin Campman. Jake Ellenberger. The Red King, Rory McDonald.
George St. Pierre.
Dan Hardy. Nick Diaz. Johnny Hendricks. Yeah. Like Tyron Woodley. You can literally go through the sort of like the golden age of welterweights. Mm-hmm. Robbie Lawler.
Tiago Alves.
Damian Maia. Neil Magny. Like, and now he finds himself against Max Griffin, this guy was probably a fan of his, right? When it comes right down to it, it's probably one of those fights where you get to say, hey, I'm fighting one of my idols.
And just get knocked out.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, man. Like I said, there's so much scar tissue. Anything can happen here. I would not be surprised to see a referee stoppage due to something.
Too much blood. Gross.
Or just like a cut you can't stop from bleeding or whatever. But now let's get into it. Let's get into the main card, because that's really what everybody wants to know about. But I just thought we'd mention a few fights on the undercard, because it's a great undercard. I mean, sometimes I'll see the undercards, I'm like, whatever. But this time, it's like I'm as excited for some of those undercard fights as I am for the fights on the main card.
Darn tootin'.
And here we'll get into our predictions as well. And we'll start at the bottom, work our way up. And it begins with a very easy one to predict. Sugar Sean O'Malley versus Chris Moutinho. Moutinho took the fight on, what, like 10 days notice? This will be his debut in the UFC.
With a record of already 9-4.
Yeah, and with a couple of losses recently. So This is like feeding lambs to the slaughter. That's what this is. This is padding the Sugar Sean O'Malley record. I mean, you and I had a conversation with Burt Watson, former UFC guy, now with Bellator, who's been around the fight game since the very beginning. I had mentioned how I felt like the UFC is protecting Sugar Sean O'Malley. They want to build him up in order to give him a marquee fight as opposed to working his way up the ranks. And this is just one of those situations where it's like, hey, oh, your opponent dropped out. We'll give you a nobody to feast on. Like, come on. If this gets past the first round, I'll be impressed. I'll give Chris credit if he gets out of the first round. Now, if he wants to get out of the first round, he probably can just by being super defensive and just try and tangle up Sean O'Malley.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's not going to win that way. But, he could try and just do that to extend the fight. He does have knockout power. He's knocked out guys in the past. But Sugar Sean O'Malley is so tall, so rangy, with such an arsenal of kicks at that weight class, it's a no contest, man. Chris is going to sleep.
So the bet's on, it's for every dollar, it's 1.12 for Sean O'Malley. So you're making 12 cents to the dollar versus Chris's $6 payout.
yeah, okay. Like, what is it for Sean O'Malley to win the first round?
Let's see. When will the fight end? First round, $1.72.
And second round?
$5.
So they don't even expect it to get to the second round. They don't either. See, that second round bet is a bet that's maybe worth making.
So here's the thing. It goes, will it go the distance? No, at $1.22 as well.
Yeah, it's not going the distance.
If you really wanted to pad this, if you could parlay this, I would parlay method of victory, which would be Sean O'Malley, KO, TKO at $1.36.
Yeah.
When will the fight end? Let's say first round, $1.72. Fight go the distance? No, $1.22. To win by decision? No. That's $1.10. So that's like $2 right there for a dollar, which would be great. But
I say we place a bet on Sean O'Malley winning in the second round.
Yeah, why not?
Right? Just because it's got a decent payout. And this being Chris's first fight in the UFC, he's going to want to be in there for longer than a minute.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He's going to want to showcase at least a little bit of skill. So I wouldn't be surprised if he comes in really game to at least last the round.
Just really defensive, kind of like pull back and be like, look, mom, I'm here.
Yeah. Like stay at a distance and then close the gap whenever he can, tangle him up, maybe dirty box a little bit.
Throw an uppercut, maybe we can. Hail Mary.
Right? But he's going to lose. It's just, if he can get to the second round, then we get paid.
Also, just want to give a quick little thing. Reminder at Pro Sports Podcasters, bet what you can afford to lose.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at pro.sports.podcasters for the most current sports news. Now back to the show.
But what I'm going to say is, on the record, it's not going the distance. Sugar Sean O'Malley is going to win by some form of knockout, whether it be a KO or a TKO, okay?
In the first round.
Not necessarily, but I'm just saying that's how it's going to end, right? So that's my official stance on this one.
And I agree with your stance.
All right, so let's move on to the next fight. We got Irene Aldana versus Yana Kunitskaya. This is actually a pretty easy one for me too, to be honest.
Okay. What is it?
Anytime Irene Aldana has faced somebody that's kind of a step up, she's got put in her place. And I see Yana Kunitskaya as a step up. So once again, I think Irene's going to get put in her place.
Do you want the odds on this?
Sure.
So Yana to win is $2-1. Okay. Irene to win is $1.80-1.
So they actually have Irene as a favorite.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I think Kunitskaya has the range on her. And I think Holly Holm kind of showed you how to beat Irene at a distance striking, and Kunitskaya can do that. I think it'll be a very similar fight to what we saw with Holly Holm versus Irene Aldana, and Kunitskaya takes it. Decision.
Decision? Actually, yeah. We can do that. So to win on points, it's 250 for our girl. And then to win by decision, yeah, so 250.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet because I expect her to keep the fight at range. When Irene closes range, she's got Kunitskaya is great at the takedowns. So every time she closes, I think Aldana's going down. I don't know if Kunitskaya does much to her when she takes her down, but I think she'll get the takedowns and she'll get some strikes at range, and that'll be the difference.
I think you're right. I think you're on point with that one.
So I feel pretty good about that bet.
I feel pretty good about the next fight, though.
See, this one I don't. This one I'm a little torn on. So you got Tai Tuivasa versus Greg Hardy. Yes. Two very different styles here.
Yes. I'm going to go with Tai Tuivasa on this
one.
So
you're going with the knockout power.
Yes.
So that's how Tuivasa wins. Okay. So if Tuivasa is going to win this, he's going to land a bomb and put Hardy to sleep or just pummel the shit out of him after he goes down.
Right.
But I think Greg Hardy is smart enough to use good mobility. He's got great movement on his feet. He's pretty light.
He was a football player.
So if he can just keep moving throughout the fight, if he can stay nimble, mm-hmm. I don't think he gets caught. And Tuivasa has a tendency to get frustrated pretty much halfway through every round. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't land something solid on you in the first half of a round, he gets frustrated and he starts to sort of headhunt for that one shot. And that's generally easy to avoid. He doesn't usually put shots together. Right, he doesn't use combinations. Hardy, I think, is smart enough to not allow him to land that one big blow, and also smart enough to use the first half of each round to just frustrate him, just moving in and out, leg kicks, jabs, and just frustrate him. So I think mm-hmm. Hardy can win this by points.
Oh, okay.
But I would not bet on it.
So I'm looking at Hardy's record right now, and he's riding a 2-fight win streak. Good. Great for him. This is his longest win streak. I don't know if he can do it. I think he might be going in a little too overconfident. Like, it's very common. Like, he's been told he's overconfident at times.
Yeah, but see, I think in this case, it's hard to feel overconfident against a guy with Tuivasa's power, right? When you step in against a guy that you know just puts guys to sleep, you tend to be a little more cagey.
Yeah, pun intended.
Right? And I think that might be the difference. But I don't want to bet on this one because, again, Tuivasa could catch him 30 seconds in and it could be over, right? So it's not one I really want to gamble with.
Would you gamble on Gilbert Burns, though?
I will gamble on the next one, 100%.
Who do you think is taking it, Gilbert or Stephen Thompson?
I'm taking Wonderboy Thompson by a mile.
So am I. Yes.
Okay, and there's a couple of reasons for this. Number one, Thompson has height and reach on it.
Yeah.
Number two, Thompson is a karate style kickboxer and knows how to use that range better than most. He's pretty much the best striker in the welterweight division. Mm-hmm. Gilbert Burns just lost. Granted, it was a title fight and it was to Kamaru Usman, who's maybe the best fighter in the UFC right now, mm-hmm. but he lost in a striking match.
Yes.
And Usman isn't even that great a striker. Okay, when it comes right down to it, he's a good striker. He's got power, but he's not a great striker. So you just lost to a striker. And I mean, you got knocked out, basically.
Yep.
To a striker.
Put to sleep.
And now you've got to face a better striker with more range than your previous opponent. Now, he's not as strong as Usman. He doesn't have as much knockout power, really, as Usman. And really, Wonderboy went from being a knockout artist to more of a point fighter. Like I think he sort of defaults in the cage sometimes to his original sort of sparring style point fighting kickboxing.
Probably. I mean, I would too if you go by habit. Why not?
The problem with that is that he doesn't go for the kill. So mm-hmm. Wonderboy doesn't really take guys out by overwhelming them. Mm-hmm. He takes them out by one well-placed punch or one well-placed kick. So well-placed that it just levels you out.
That's it.
As he gets older and as he's tagged on more fights, I think some of his power is gone. So you don't see him knocking guys out so much anymore. It doesn't happen as often. But what he's still able to do is just pick you apart at distance. And then when that becomes too much to deal with and you try to take him down, his takedown defense is excellent.
Just proper.
So after that brutal loss that Gilbert Burns just received, and I mean, the guy was in tears after the fight. I think he's going to come into this fight so eager to win. Like, he's going to come in with such urgency to get the victory here and kind of erase what just happened. I think against someone like as technical as Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, that's just not the way to fight it. I think he's going to pick him apart, man. I don't know what we're going to get on this, but what do we get on winning by decision, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson?
Stephen Wonderboy Thompson is 161 to 230. So Thompson's 161.
Oh, he's the favorite.
Yep.
And that's by decision?
Overall.
No. What is it by decision?
Oh, sorry. By decision. I missed that. Thompson win by decision on points, 250.
See, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd take that because I don't think he's going to knock him out. I don't think he's going to knock Gilbert Burns out.
Okay. I'll take that.
I'm surprised we agreed on that. I thought maybe you'd be leaning Burns' way, but no, it's...
No, I wasn't impressed. Yeah. Now that I'm watching it more with you and kind of understanding the history of everything, I was watching Burns versus Usman and I was like, yeah, this guy's good. Like, he deserves his title fight, but it's only because there's no one to challenge Usman. Like, if I jumped in that pool and won a fight, I'd be challenging Usman too. Not that I deserve it, but...
Yeah, I think Burns really had a wake-up call there. You're talking about two guys that used to train with each other and such. And when he got picked apart the way he did by Usman, it's almost like the light went off in his head saying, I don't think I deserve to be here yet.
No.
That was a harsh reality for him to take. So now it's almost like he wants to prove to himself, maybe I just need a little bit of work and I can get back there. And this is my first step. So I'll get by it. You know, he's probably looking at Stephen Thompson as the first fight before a couple others before he gets back to a title shot. Mm-hmm. So he might be even looking past it. I think it's just a huge mistake. I think he's just too good.
I agree. Wonderboy is Wonderboy for a reason, boy.
The sign up for the Pro Sports Podcasters weekly newsletter is now live on our website. You can find links to the website in the show notes, but it's pro-sports-podcasters.captivate.fm. Just scroll to the bottom of the page and you'll see the sign up right there. The newsletter begins releasing in August and will be coming out every single week. But for those of you that sign up early in July, there'll be an opportunity to win some of the first PSP swag coming out this fall. So sign up as soon as possible and be one of the first to really support the Pro Sports Podcasters. Which brings us to the main event. This is kind of an interesting one, okay? So, first of all, let's go on record and saying at the last fight, you and I both thought that Conor McGregor was going to win it.
Correct.
Right? We both thought that. Yes. We thought, you know what? He beat Poirier before, early in his career. It's going to be a striking contest. McGregor is a better striker. He should probably win this. And man, were we wrong.
Okay. And, yeah, okay, yes, you
completely
were.
Completely wrong. So, how have things changed since then?
Well, so I've been following McGregor on all of his social medias. I always have been, but now I've been focusing more on what is he doing to prepare for this. And he's not actually leading too much on. He's doing a lot of cardio. Like, he's in California, he's training right now, and he's biking those hills. And of course, he's shirtless and basically wearing nothing because he wants everyone to see his muscles. Mm-hmm. That's Conor McGregor for you. So here's the thing. I don't know what he's doing, but all I know is he has a big team with him. They did a final photo and there's a lot of people. Like, I've never really followed camps too hard, but I feel like this is an absurd amount of people. Like, I feel like he's training for a title fight at this point. So I was like, okay, cool. And I went to creep Dustin Poirier. Same thing, shows him like training a little bit, but I don't know what's happening too much. But I think Dustin Poirier understood that those calf kicks were his best friend throughout that fight. And Conor's not dumb. He's going to know that's going to happen again. But I don't know if he can stop that. So I think I'm going to go Poirier again.
So you think it'll be almost a repeat of the last fight?
Yeah, I think it's going to go similar. Conor goes down second round, third round.
Okay, so I see things a little different.
Okay.
So first of all, I think Conor came into the last fight ready to disrespect Dustin.
Yep.
And as a result of that, he went in there to put on a highlight reel show, which meant he wanted to land a left hand and put Dustin out. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was looking for, especially the whole first round. He was looking for that left hand.
Correct.
And the more shots he took to his lead leg, the more impossible it became to land that left hand. Because if you can't plant properly, throwing a power shot leaves you vulnerable.
Correct.
So I think that won't be the case. I think we're going to see Connor keep distance this time and use some more kicks, right? Because I actually thought that was kind of weird at the last fight, to be honest, because Connor generally outkicks the majority of his opponents, especially someone like Poirier, who's more of a, he prefers to throw hands than throw kicks. So I thought that was a bit odd. And it looked to me like Connor was just trying to walk down Poirier and knock him out and then pay the price for it. So I expect this to be more of a almost wider stance, but at range, Conor McGregor looking to land perfect technique.
Correct.
Okay, and he's good at that. He's very good at that. It's whether or not that's enough to take out Poirier, and I don't think it is anymore.
Poirier's changed a lot since the first time they fight, as we saw in the second. Now, Poirier, I feel like, has become smarter with how he fights. He backs up. He doesn't really go for the same like bloodthirsty. He does go for the kill, but it's more timed killing. He doesn't show his cards right away. What I genuinely feel is going to happen is McGregor is going to play it very smart at first. The first round is going to be, I think, a feel fest where they're not really going to do much. They're just going to keep their guard and exchange like a few little blows back and forth, but that's going to be about all.
Yeah, leg kicks.
Yeah, like kind of feel each other out, blah, 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 kicks, this, that, and the other. But however, the second round is where it's going to go to poop. Is where I can see McGregor coming out, guns blazing, because he knows in order to put that left hand down, he has to plant that right leg. So he's going to have to either fake a left leg kick enough times, be like, yeah, okay, come on, Dustin, kick this leg. I don't need this one as much because I'm going to hit you with that left. Or he's going to even do something really different because McGregor has something to prove in this fight. I think he's going to go balls to the wall and Conor's going to attempt a submission second round. I don't think he's going to win it, but I think he's going to try and Poirier is going to counter it and it's going to be ugly.
See, I don't see that.
I'm trying to be desperate Connor right now. He's 22.
Well, so I think Connor's best defense against the leg kicks is he can do that little, like that side kick that he does.
Okay.
Right? So he has sort of this little straight side kick that he's used numerous times in fights, and it takes his lead leg out of the range of a calf kick, right? Essentially, Poirier would be kicking right underneath his leg and then taking one in the ribs completely off balance.
Maybe he hit him in the kidney?
Yeah. So that's kind of like, to me, Connor's best defense against the calf kick. That would be his best defense. And I expect to see him utilize that a number of times. But I think this will come down to is I just don't think Connor's going to catch Poirier well enough to put him out. And if he doesn't, I think a battle of attrition will happen, and sometime during the third round, Connor's going to burn out. He's going to gas out, and Poirier is just going to be on him because Poirier likes to maul his opponents. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to close distance and just unload on him and get the finish. I expect this to go into the third round, maybe even deep into the third round, and Poirier gets the win. So I'm picking Poirier to win. You're picking Poirier to win. I don't think it's going to go the distance.
I don't think so either.
Knockout, TKO, or submission, basically.
All right, let's see what's happening right now. So because this is a high-profile bet, Betway has a poop ton of options for us.
Okay.
Like McGregor to win by TKO via punches in general, 275. Dustin Poirier to win by TKO via punches, 3. Doesn't say when, just says in general. That's the whole thing.
That's like, good. Wait, hold on. See, when they say by punches, what does that exactly mean? So the referee can stop it?
I think so. It says TKO, so.
It is TKO.
Yeah.
So that's how I see him winning. That is my method of victory for Poirier.
And it doesn't even say any, it's just any round. He wins by that.
Yeah, no, I like that.
We're probably going to get screwed because it's probably going to like leg kick and be like, punch him in the face. Oh, but it was a leg kick that did it. Be like,
No. If the referee's not going to jump in on a leg kick, unless the leg gets shattered, the referee's not going to stop it due to that. He'll only stop it once the guy goes down and starts getting overwhelmed.
Check this out. Dustin Poirier to win by elbow, $21. Dustin Poirier to win by doctor stoppage, $34.
Wow, now there's a weird one.
Dustin Poirier to win by knee, $26. No contest eye poke. There have been so many eye pokes, it's a bet now whether there's going to be an eye poke in.
Oh, if the fight's going to end due to eye poke.
How sad is that? If I was Dana White, I'd be like, guys, we have to do something about these gloves and John Jones.
Yeah, but it's you lose a lot of the variance of mixed martial arts if you limit the fingers, right?
Yeah.
Like they got to be able to use their fingers for different types of submissions and grappling and such. So it's just one of the things of the sport you can't really get by.
Dustin Poirier to win by KO, TKO, or disqualification, 287. I'm going to double down on our bet there.
Oh, yeah. Make one of each? Yeah, yeah. That's good, because then if we win the way we want to win, we get 587.
Yeah.
But if we don't, we still make money.
We still make 87 cents. But here's the thing I also want to see. You were saying third round you were thinking?
I was thinking third round, yeah.
When will this fight end? Round three at $7.
And that's just the fight ending?
Just in general.
Doesn't matter who wins?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, I kind of like that. I kind of like that one too, actually. That's actually a neat bet. So even if Connor, you know, somehow lays him out in the third round, it was worth it.
So it's saying statistically it's going to end round one at 287.
Well, again, yeah. I mean, it's always going to be a little bit lower because the first round's the first opportunity it has for it to end. You're always going to get more if you bet deeper into the fight.
Yo, if Dustin Poirier wins round three by submission, $41.
I don't think it'll be submission.
Dustin Poirier to win round three, KO, TKO, or disqualification, $15.
See, that's not bad. But I still prefer the anytime, the any win type thing.
Could you imagine if it like paid out like that, just straight up, just boom, 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 boom?
Actually, that brings something up I was noticing about this particular card. One thing that upsets me is the co-main event, Gilbert Burns versus Stephen Thompson, is only three rounds.
Is it? I didn't even realize.
It's only a three-round fight, and it's kind of bothersome when you look at the fact that the last time we watched the UFC, we had a main event, five rounds, a co-main event, five rounds, and an extra fight for five rounds, right?
Because Gilbert Burns is not a needle mover.
Right? So Gilbert Burns versus Stephen Thompson, co-main, three rounds. That should be a five-round fight.
That's disrespect.
Yeah, and I don't know what the reason is behind it. I really don't. I don't understand why I wouldn't make it a five-rounder unless the UFC is looking at maybe like the last few number of Stephen Thompson's fights. And for the most part, because he's not really finishing people, they might look at it like five rounds of him just pointing Gilbert Burns might be boring, right?
Ooh, this is so interesting. Gone in 60 seconds. Poirier to win in 60, 17. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, so let's go down our list here.
All right. Top to bottom. Or bottom to top, sorry.
Bottom to top. So on the main card.
Yep.
It begins with, we've got Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Just dominating.
Yeah, this is not going the distance. Then we've got Yana Kunitskaya.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take Irene or are you sticking with me?
Oh, I'm sticking with you for Yana.
Okay. And that's by decision.
Yep. Our split is this one.
Here's our split. So I've got Greg Hardy by decision.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Tai Tuivasa by KO, right?
By KO, yes, I do.
Okay. So that's very classic, actually. Then we both have Stephen Thompson winning by decision, by points, over Gilbert Burns.
Yes, sir.
And we both got Dustin Poirier winning by some form of stoppage before this reaches the cards.
Correct.
All right. I mean, last time we were pretty close. Last time, I think I only missed on one.
Which was the last time, the McGregor fight, or just the last fight card?
The last card that we predicted. I'm pretty sure we only missed by one.
Yeah, something like that, one or two.
Yeah. Looking forward. So what happens? Let's say we've predicted right. What happens when Conor loses this? What do you do with Conor McGregor then?
If Conor loses it, then he's no longer a headliner. No longer. He's not pushing the needle. He might push a needle on fight night, but he's not pushing a UFC card.
See, I disagree. He's still going to be a headliner. He's still going to be a headliner.
I can't see it. He's lost the last, what, two fights?
Yeah, but so we still have Conor versus Nate Diaz 3.
Yeah.
Right? They're 1-1. Guaranteed that headlines a card.
Mm.
There are still guys that you can put Conor against that will gain interest.
I mean, I don't know.
Michael Chandler? Would you want to see that fight?
Not really, no.
Really? He wouldn't? Because I would like that fight. I would watch it.
Chandler would mop the floor with him.
But see, because I am not the biggest Conor fan, that would thrill me.
Right? I'm not the biggest fan. I like when he talks, but I'm not like the biggest fan. Like, he has flaws everywhere.
Well, I just, to me, I'd like to see him go against the guys he should have gone against. That's how I see it at this point. He got to skip the line numerous times. And there's all these guys that are like, this is bullshit. He should have fought me at some point. But now they've got him at a position where I'm not allowed to fight him unless I prove myself.
Right.
But if he gets in a slump, he takes some key losses, now it opens up the opportunity to actually fight those guys. It's whether or not Conor would even want to, right? He's got so much money. Where's the motivation at that point?
I think he needs to retire. If he loses this fight, just retire, dude.
Yeah, but he could be like Diaz, where it's, I like to scrap. I get paid huge money to do it. I don't care if I win or lose. I just want to put on a show. Mm. Right? That's a potential. It could go that way. I don't know if Conor would be cool with that. I think his ego might prevent that from happening. But this is big, right? If he loses to Poirier, it really changes the look on things. And then for Poirier, it's simple. Poirier wins this. He's going to get a shot at Oliveira.
Yep. And that'll be a fun fight. I think the winner gets a shot at Oliveira.
Of this fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess, well, either way, it's a win-win for UFC, right?
Correct. Because Chandler is, what, like fourth now or something ranking? Winner of this. At least the winner should maybe face Chandler. Because Chandler came out of a division he fought Hooker, but eh.
That wasn't much of a fight.
No.
Oh, I got clocked right on the chin. Good night. Right? Yeah, no, they need to find an opponent for Chandler.
Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, there's a good opponent.
That'll be fun to watch.
That's a very good opponent. And so I think they've already announced it, but it's going to be Ciryl Gane versus the Black Beast.
Derek Lewis?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's the only fight they could make right now.
Give me Francis Ngannou and Derek Lewis.
There's something going on with Ngannou that he can't fight right away. So the next big fight now is Ciryl Gane versus Derek Lewis. And I've been waiting for Gane to get one of those top fights. And I'm excited about this one, man. I'm amped. Right? I like Ciryl Gane a lot. And Lewis is just so dangerous. If you have any questions for the Pro Sports Podcasters, be sure to reach us on our Twitter account, where you can also
slide into our DMs
and catch the latest snippets, dirt, and other exclusive things that we will tweet.
Check us out at P Podcasters on Twitter.